We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Jeff Nowak and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, the legendary Roe Brown. I would ask for his autograph, but his wife told me when we had the parade that now he signs it and he ends it with HOF, so I got to pay for that. So, Ro, you got to get me a discount.
Get out of here. You are wrong for that.
No, I hate to put her in the mix. I just had to throw that one in. But Ro, first of all, congratulations on, man, the last year has been great for you. And it's well-deserved, my man. You've been a fixture in these parts for so long and just done great job reporting. And I think the world of you. And when my daughter first thought about, man, I might do a little bit like kind of what Dad was doing, you sort of helped along the way, and now she's kind of chess piece both of us. So she's a vice president at the World War II Museum now.
Exactly.
She's jumped. Exactly. She's jumped old Pop. And she's jumped you. So thank you.
I can't stand those smart people.
Oh goodness. Ro, before we start with some of the things, I got to ask you this. Someone asked me to ask, but he asked me, and he said, "Well, I'd like to hear Ro's answer to it." Three best college football players. I don't want to ask you who's the best you've ever seen, but the three guys that really stuck out to you throughout your time covering college football.
Ooh. Whoa, man. You should have given me some time for this.
Well, listen, I'll skip it.
Wait. Let me buy some time by just saying I heard y'all kind of, who were you talking about that John Randall was the best player they played against?
Kevin Mawai.
Kevin, okay, all right.
No, okay. Kevin was a center guard. Yeah. He was like, man, my guy.
Yeah, no, that's saying something if Kevin Mawai said that.
And
hearing you guys talk about it, I just thought about, I think I heard you and Jeff was saying something about, how nothing happens without those people up front.
Yep.
And it just made me think about something that I've always thought about. You know, beautiful football players. People look at Lynn Swann as a beautiful football player, not necessarily a best, but a beautiful football player. Yeah, looking at him aesthetically, I think the two most beautiful football players that I ever saw were Willie Rolfe and John Hannah.
Because how both of them were built, you wouldn't say, man, those are beautiful-looking guys.
Majestic.
I know, exactly. But when you watch them do what they did and how they did it, William Rolfe never looked off balance. His feet always looked perfect, and John Hannah was the same way, and they were hardly ever on the ground. it was just beautiful to watch them the way they did what they did.
And to watch offensive linemen today not to be on the turf is amazing. And you write about it. You think about Willie and you think about Hannah. I remember we went watch LSU play Alabama, and And they kept talking about John Hannah. You know, they had a big article in the paper. I think Peter Finney wrote it about how good Hannah was. And the guy in front of me after the third quarter said, man, he's every bit good as what Finney wrote. He's better. And I mean, you know, you think about, you know, because at that time you couldn't watch. You know, you and I grew up in an era. Okay, you got one game on a Saturday afternoon. That's what you got. Yeah. You know, and it was ABC's choice on what they wanted to do with it, and how, man, that has changed so radically. And so I'll lead you to this question: seeing USC and UCLA jump to the Big Ten, no surprise to me there, and I think the NCAA in college football doesn't have a revenue problem. What they have is a big game problem, okay? Do you want to watch Vanderbilt? Nothing against Vanderbilt and Missouri. Do you want to watch that 11 o'clock in the morning? Do you want to watch Maryland and Rutgers? Come on. I think doing this gives you more opportunities for bigger games. And I do think that the networks sort of nudged everybody, okay, SEC, Big Ten. But I don't think they had to nudge the SEC too much about bringing in Oklahoma and Texas.
Right.
But I do think if college football has any issue, it's the amount of big games. People say, well, I missed the rivalry games. Okay, I tell them, what rivalry game you miss?
Yeah.
Okay? Well, Notre Dame, USC. Well, they still play that. Okay, they still play that. Texas still plays Oklahoma. So you might have, you know, some teams decide, well, I don't want to play, you know, Florida didn't want to play Miami or Florida. Not going to understand that back then. Man, I ain't playing them. it looked like an all-star team. But my thing is, what rivalry game do you miss? Explain it to me. You can maybe say Nebraska, Oklahoma, but when has Nebraska been relevant? Okay, the last 10, 12 years, they haven't been. So
are they going to start playing again? Nebraska, Oklahoma. Did I see this, that they were going to start playing again? I don't know. But that's one that's been
that gone. That one, I can see it. But, man, you can't name me six or eight like that. That's why college football is the way it is. Your thoughts on the changes in college football?
You knew it was coming. I mean, you knew that this was going to happen, and it's going to happen. You know, and it's not done yet, really. I think it's going to be – I think eventually – well, you knew that it was going to be pared down to the number of schools who were really, you know, in the running for the college football playoff. Okay, they're paring this thing down to where it's like AFC, NFC. Okay, that's what it was going to get that way. You know, you just didn't know when. You knew it was moving in that direction. And this is just another big chunk by USC and UCLA moving to the Big Ten. You know, I mean, think about it, Mike. And when we were growing up, what?
Yeah, I agree.
Are you out of your mind? You know, what do you mean? You know, I mean, what do you mean Texas and Oklahoma and the SEC? That's not possible, okay? USC and UCLA in the Big Ten. That's impossible. You know, that can't happen. And lo and behold, here we are. It's happening. And Oregon and Washington, they're going to. they're going to go also. Okay? You know, they're going to go also. They're going to be in that mix somehow. And I think they're going to pare it down and that's the way it's going to be. Now, you're right. You'll probably get better games, more good matches. There's no doubt about it. Television has always run the thing. Television is, you know, is why, you know, they filed the suit when the College Football Association and that sort of thing in 1983. So television has always been there.
Always been there.
Always. Okay, well, because of that, after that, it was always there. Because, as you know, prior to that, the NCAA controlled television. And, you know, we got a generation of people that don't realize that.
Yep.
You know, the NCAA decided who was going to be on television and how many times you were going to be on. And you could have been a number one team in the nation. If you were already on.
The week before, you're going to be on again.
Okay, you might not be able to be on again. Okay, that's how they were running the thing.
Think about How many times on those really good late 60s, early 70s Grambling teams, how many times Grambling played on national TV?
On national TV? I guess the only way they got on national TV is because they had one of those Saturday morning highlight shows like Notre Dame had.
That's the Grambling only way.
One of those shows. Okay?
That's it.
And that wasn't nationally. That was whoever was running it.
That's
and
regional.
Whoever it was distributed to, okay? Whoever it was distributed to. And, you know, yeah, that's about it. That's about all, you know. And I can remember the NCAA put some, you know, now and then in the early 70s, they might run a game with an with HBCUs, like a regional game. Early 70s were the first ones that I remember. And it wasn't an every week thing. It was, you know, like late in the season or something like that. They do it. But, yeah, television is always and continues to be what's going to run it. That's the way of the world, Michael. You know that.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. I just wanted you to hear it from you, too. hold on, Ro. Jeff's got a question for you. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, to change course a little bit here, we're going to talk about the hometown team. We can talk about the Saints. You know, we saw Jameis today. He's throwing without a brace, which is kind of cool to see, and he's working back from that knee injury. I think one of the biggest questions you're going to have for the Saints organization this year and going forward, you know, how far can Jameis lead this team? Do you think he's a guy who can lead them to double-digit wins, to a deep playoff run? Well, what's your take on that?
He's the best thing they got. So, first of all, you know, I never thought there was, in my mind, put it that way. Last year, I never thought that there was a, you know, quarterback competition. And I felt that if there was a quarterback competition, then shame on Jameis Winston. You know, that's something that, you know, he should have been hands down the winner, and he did win the job. Played well enough when he played. Played well enough. Now, you hear a lot about people saying, well, he can do things that Drew Brees couldn't do, and that's true. That may be true. Yeah, that may be true. However, you know, when Jameis Winston was playing and they were winning, so that's what's most important. They won most of those games, you know. You never thought about the Saints being like 29th in offense.
Right.
Okay. When the previous quarterback was there. So it's a different kind of team, okay? I think if he's healthy, you know, I think they could make the playoffs with him. I think they could make the playoffs with him. I haven't been the biggest Jameis Winston fan. I'm glad he came here, and I'm glad he came here for the reasons that he came here, because he realized that he needed help in his career. And I think he has accepted that help with the ability that he has, you know, and with the smarts that he has. And now, you know, I think he can lead them to the playoffs. Yeah, I really do. I think he can.
Ro, hold on to where you're at. They got to pay Jeff and I, so we got to run commercials. Come on. Yeah, things ain't that changed since you left the business full time. Come on.
Come on, Jeff. Do I get a cut? Come on.
No, you know he ain't getting no cut from me, so that's why he threw that in there. Ro, hold on where you at. We got a few more questions, and we'll be back with more Sports Talk and Ro Brown right after this break on the Big 870. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. We got with us Ro Brown, though. Legendary sportscaster and Hall of Famer. Ro, your thoughts on LSU and Brian Kelly, and where you think this will roll with Brian in a changing, in an ever-changing SEC?
An ever-changing SEC. Obviously, I think they'll be better than last year. I don't think they'll win the West. I don't think they'll win the division. I don't think they're good enough for that yet.
No,
not near. You know, like some people are saying that, you know, his arrival will bring it. He was a good choice. I think he's a good coach. He's won. He's won wherever he's gone. I'm not certain. I'm always kind of skeptical when people talk about how great a recruiting class he's assembling. How good is it? Might be better than most to have, but I'm not sold on that part of it yet. I'm not sure LSU has good football players as people think at this point. They aren't bad, and they'll win more games than they lose. But I don't think they're upper echelon like they want it to be, or like some people think it is.
How much pressure is on Jimbo?
Seven, eight wins.
Yeah.
You know,
I get it.
I say seven, you know, seven, eight wins. That's about what it'll be.
I think Jimbo dug himself a hole that I'm interested to see how he gets out of. Because, listen, I'm paying you a lot of money, and now I have stuck a lot of money in the pockets of recruits. Mm-hmm. Name, image, likeness. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with it. It's legal today. Mm-hmm. It's legal. Yeah. Well, you and I are old enough to know that it was done and it was illegal. Okay? We old enough to know a lot of that because guys told us. Basically, this is what I was getting, and they driving around in cars better than I was. So, Jimbo can't just win 9 games or 10 games. He has got to take this team to, and I'm not sure they're good enough to get to the SEC championship game. You talk about the heat's up on him, and he helped turn it up himself.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. And they go to Tuscaloosa this year, right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, yeah, I think you're right about that. Look, Nick Saban didn't say anything that he hasn't been saying for the last several months. The difference was this time he named names.
That's right.
Okay. That, you know, he has said that he has been saying this for the last several months, if people listen. And, of course, he was probably saying it also, as everybody knows by now, to tell his Alabama money people, look, this is what's happening, okay? Now, he may have lost one or two guys that he thought he was going to get because of that, okay? It may have been one or two, maybe, okay? And so that's why he had to say that. The difference is this time he named names.
And the last cat to name names, Joe Valachi. I read about it.
Yeah.
He ratted out some of the cats in the mob. He was the last one to name names.
The kiss of
you do
death.
Not cross Nick Saban.
I remember those hearings. Yep. I remember those congressional hearings with Joe Valachi. So I know exactly what you're talking about. But look, you know, he you know, yeah, he may have dug himself a hole, and there's really no way for them to police this, okay? I mean, I'm sure that's what A&M has been doing. I'm sure that's what other schools have been doing, and Nick Saban may not have been doing it. I believe him. He may not have been doing it. But remember when Bear Bryant was at Texas A&M and he got caught?
He
recruiting.
Went, and then he left.
Cheating.
And no, he got out of Dodge.
No, and then, but what I mean is they asked Bear Bryant, and I'm talking in terms of Nick Saban now, they asked him, you know, why, if he did it. He said, yep. They asked him why. He said, because everybody else was doing
that's
it. That's
right.
The only way I was
going to
compete. Okay? You know, he said it, you know, out loud. And, you know, Nick Saban is going to do what they're doing now. Yeah, he probably will. Yeah, he probably will. He probably hasn't been, but he's probably going to now because he feels like he has to now.
No.
And
go ahead.
That's the way that goes.
Now, Ro, another sharp pivot from me. You know, it's weird to be in the city of New Orleans and having to kind of feel like the Pelicans and the Saints have, you know, equal levels of optimism. But it does feel that way, and it's an unusual feeling around the Pelicans. I'm curious how you have seen that. You know, it as someone who's been here for a long, I've only been here for about 6 years now, so I was here for the Anthony Davis kind of sweepstakes and all that. But someone who's been here since the beginning, you know, how has
that
kind of
felt? Because the only other time would be Chris Paul, David West run.
Right.
That was the only other time.
Right.
Look at it this way, guys. Prior to this year and prior to this time, everybody would have been going, oh, you got to get Kevin Durant.
That's true.
You know, we got to. Oh, yeah, we need to. The organization probably would have felt we need to, you know, thinking ticket sales and thinking, you know, we need to. We need to. Think about it. This time they're going, we might check into it, but, you know. You know, that's
right.
The feeling.
If he shows up on our doorstep, we won't complain.
Yeah, exactly, you know. But we're not, you know, it's not something that we, you know. We're not going to pull a Gail Goodrich to the Lakers or anything like that, or, you know. Or, you know, Billy Newsom from the Coach.
Oh,
you know,
God.
I knew that would register with him.
Oh,
Jeff,
yeah.
Ask him to explain. No. Ask him later to explain that to you. Okay, but anyway, they would have been making those kinds of moves. You know, we usually have to make those kinds of moves or feel like we do. This time they don't. They don't feel that way because they got a situation that really ended very well. 36-46 might not sound like a lot. But it's a lot when you realize they were 1-12. And it's a lot when you realize that you got a bunch of young guys, you know, athletic, long, and you're adding a guy who, when he's healthy, every night it's 25 or 13 boards against anybody. And, you know, you got to feel good about it. Willie Green is also the key, the coach. Nothing against, you know, the previous people, but the previous person and Stan Van Gundy. I mean, nothing against him. I mean, I have my own little thing about the Van Gundys. I think, you know, what have they ever won? People look at them as experts, and that's fine and all.
They got a lot of W-2s is all I know.
They got a lot of that. Yeah, they got a lot of that, you know. But both of them, both brothers – if you listen especially to, you know, Jeff, they don't like players. They don't like players.
They don't seem to relate to them very well. I can agree with you there.
They think they're all dumb. They think they're, you know, they don't like players. You know, they don't like players.
They don't seem to like when they act like people, if that makes sense.
They don't like them. You know, it just seems to me that they don't. I don't know if it's because they couldn't play or what. I don't know. But, you know, Bobby Knight once told me that, you know, the trick is to get, you know, they all hear you talking about players. They all hear you. The trick is to get them to listen to you. They didn't listen. They stopped listening to Stan Van Gundy. They listened to Willie Green.
I mean, Eric Bledsoe literally didn't listen in the huddle in a game that they lost because he didn't know what to do on the floor.
Body language. Yeah. You know, I'm not in the huddle and I can't hear it, but just look at body language and expression. They listen to him. And like Bobby Knight said, you get them to listen to you, you know, you're 70% there. The rest of it is easy. They didn't listen to Stan Van Gundy. They tuned him out, it looked like to me. This guy they listen to. This guy they relate to. This guy obviously is young enough to know when to crack the whip.
And when not to.
And when not to, yeah. Okay? You know, he seems to know that, okay? And throw a little talent in and a few surprises, you know, like Herb Jones. A good friend of mine, you know, reminded me of this guy, and I remember seeing him in college and thinking, but Darian Seabrook.
Yeah.
The guy they signed right after, he's going to play in the NBA somewhere, here or somewhere, okay? And they signed him as a free agent. You know, from what I saw of him in college at NC State, you know, he's going to play someplace. And, you know, the draft choices, they'll be around. You know, they may move somebody, take somebody's job. So they're in a good situation, the Pelicans are. I think they're at a good place right now. I like where they are.
And they have won over the city and the region.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, exactly. During the Jazz time, come on, Ro, that didn't happen. You went to the game to watch Pete, okay? And if they won, man, we happy a little bit. And they had one run when they had Truck Robinson and that crew, and then man, you saw it like I did. Pete gets hurt. But they mm-hmm. want a hot run then. But no time did you think – the Jazz at that time were real contenders, and they are today. I mean, the Pelicans are contenders today,
yeah.
Major.
Yeah, yeah. You feel that way. You feel that way. Well, at that time, you know, I mean, what's the first thing they did? First thing they did was gave up a lot to get Pete.
Yep.
Because they felt like that's what they had to do for the organization to, you know, succeed. Similar to what the Saints did in 1967. Paul Hornung and Jim Taylor weren't even starting anymore for the Packers. Am I right, Mike?
They were not. They weren't.
That second Super Bowl, when the Packers played the Raiders, the running backs were Grabowski and Anderson and all those other people, Chuck Mercine and all that. You know, they weren't even starting for the Packers anymore. But the Saints gobbled them up because they felt like they had to have a name or whatever it was. And that was the thing with the Jazz, too, at the time, you know, giving up that first-round draft pick or picks for Gail Goodrich. And that last pick ended up being Magic Johnson. The first pick in the draft, you know, what, 3-4 years later. You know, that was that Jazz pick. And they aren't doing that, you know. They're in a position right now to where they don't have to do that. Shout out, however, you got to give it to him, David Griffin. Let's face it, man. This time last year, people want to run him out of town.
I agree.
People want to run him out of town, okay? People wanted to run him out of town. And just going through the computer just now, Kendrick Perkins apologized to New Orleans.
We were talking about that a little bit earlier in the show. Yeah. It took him a little while. I guess it finally sunk in. Maybe I better say something now.
Because he was saying the team was going to be sold. Okay, it was gonna move. They're gonna move the team. It was gonna be so. It was going to Seattle or whatever.
Yeah, he forgot Battistone wasn't running the team anymore. Didn't own it anymore.
Sam Battistone. Yeah. How much more time do we have?
We out of time, Robert. Hey, listen.
Right, but wait.
Go ahead. Give it to me quick.
I don't want to feel like I skirted anything. Okay. Favorite college football player and best / you know. I like people who were very versatile. Tommy Casanova, Leroy Keyes. But my three, I would have to say, were Herschel, Bull, and Terrence Jones.
All right. That's interesting. Listen, we'll get
you. Like I said combination best and favorite.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ro. We'll get you back, and I know Hebert got all kind of questions he want to ask you, so we may be here for 3 hours. So thank you, Ro. I appreciate it.
Give my regards to Bobby.
I will do it, brother. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for having me.
Thank you. Ro Brown, the Hall of Fame sportscaster here, over 40 years in the business. We'll be back with more sports talk on the Big 870.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.